an AppleViz original.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Thomas Donville, also known as Not a Mouse. This is a special edition of AppleViz Extra number 81. We are hosting this on live on the Clubhouse platform, where we discuss about this week's Apple Spring Loaded keynote. Now for the show.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us. So who we have here on stage at the moment is myself, Dave Nason, Thomas Donville, a voice you'll be very familiar with from AppleViz podcasts, and Michael Hansen as well from the AppleViz team. And we wanted to just put an event together and chat about Apple's spring-loaded event that took place last Tuesday and talk about, you know, what they unveiled, what we think of it. We'll do it in little blocks, I think. We'll go through, discuss a few bits, you know, what was quickly give an overview of what was announced and what we made of it ourselves, and then open up the floor for two or three people to come up and if they want to give their thoughts. And then we'll go back and do another block and the same thing. And then at the end, if we have time, you know, we'll have more people up as well. So that's the plan of action, I guess, if that sounds good to people. Mm-hmm. We kick off with the little ones, the kind of, and by the way, if you want a good overview of everything that was announced, I'd recommend the summary of the event on AppleViz.com, which David Goodwin put together. It's really useful.
It's good. It's to the point. It's the style that I like, and it just puts it right out there.
Yeah. It's a great little overview. It's my bit of revision today to jog my memory of what did they tell us on Tuesday. So I suppose some of the smaller things they announced were things like a family plan for Apple Card, a purple iPhone 12, that was one, and I guess the subscriptions for podcasts. So they'd probably be the first kind of three little things they talked about at the beginning. Anyone buying a purple iPhone? Do you guys care what color your iPhone is?
I think people that have not gotten an iPhone yet, I think the purple color will be a hit. I think there's the demand for the purple phone, and I think Apple's doing a great job of trying to mix things up with colors. So I'm really excited that they keep bringing new colors on. So I was pretty surprised to hear they were going to come up with a new color. The podcast subscription was a little bit better than I expected, because, you know, when I first heard that, I was thinking to myself, ah, man, there's no way I'm going to pitch him $5 or $10 a month.
Yeah.
And 100%. So they decided it's going to be a podcast prescription. So in other words, you can just follow one podcast and pay as little as 49 cents a month or whatever for that streaming. I thought, wow, now that is something that I could do. If there were something, I don't know if I would pay for something, but the option to just pay per show instead of the whole thing as one, I really like that approach. We'll see if this lives on or is successful.
I think it will. It's almost, the way to think of it is really as like app in-app subscriptions in apps, you know, where Apple are taking 30% for the first year and 15% for subsequent years, and that's the same model they've gone with for podcasts. So if a podcast creator, and if AppleViz, and we won't do this, I wouldn't have thought, but if AppleViz wanted to start creating extra content that you have to pay for, we can charge for it through the podcast app, and then you just subscribe to AppleViz specifically. So like, I do subscribe to some podcasts through Patreon, so it's a challenge to those kind of companies, I would say.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking in as accessibility. What does this mean for us? No, obviously there are some podcasters out there that offer training and lessons and things like that for an upfront. I would love to see them have a subscription. That would be something I would do instead of like a one-time cost upfront. And like you said, you know, you could have exclusive content that is paid and the other option is free. So I like those two.
Credit card. Ad free as well. That's the other way people do it.
Yeah, right. So you can get. One is, you know, with ads and the other one isn't. That would be something benefit to the credit card for the family. I thought that's pretty slick. Now, if my kids were younger, I think I would have done that because we would be able to help them establish credits along with us, and their name is on the card. I wish this was done earlier. I think I would have taken advantage of that. Now, obviously, my kids are older. They have their own credit cards, so those days are long gone, so I don't get to be able to take advantage of that. But for family, how cool is that? I really like that option.
Yeah, it makes sense. We don't have Apple Card here, but I use a service called Revolut, which is, it's not credit card, it's just debit, but it's very, very popular, and they've had a kids option for about a year now, and yeah, a lot of people use it for giving their kids their pocket money, really, and you can then keep track of what they're spending on, and, yeah, mm-hmm. and like you say, teaching them about money.
Yeah, you literally got control. I mean, you could say, you got this limit per month, you know, and this is all you get. So it's kind of like, what do you want to call it, when you give them money allowance. So I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. So you can teach them responsibly how to use a credit card. I think that's a really good thing you can do.
Yeah. Michael, any thoughts on the credit card on the subscriptions?
A couple things come to mind here. Is that, you know, I saw last week that Spotify, not last week, but, a couple of days ago, that Spotify is planning to launch a subscription service for podcasts as well. And unlike Apple, at least the Apple news sites are reporting that Spotify is not going to take a cut of developers' revenue. So I think that, I think that Apple is, as much as I, really admire a lot of the things that Apple does, I think that they're going to have some, they're not going to come out on the winning side of this one. I think people are going to go to Spotify because they can make more money. The court of public opinion is probably going to start shifting. It already is, look at the regulatory things that's going on with Apple right now, and the antitrust hearings and those sorts of things that I was reading about. And I think that, that the court of public opinion is going to be shifting away from companies taking away, the 15% or the 30% commission. Totally, Apple can absolutely do whatever they want. It's their right. It's their business. But I think that you're going to see it's going to become less popular. And I think that eventually, I think certainly with the podcast, I think if Spotify actually does this, they're going to have an edge, and people are going to Apple to change their tune.
It's hard. Be a Spotify subscriber, though.
Yes.
In which case, you are paying Spotify ten quid.
Even though for the paid podcasts?
Don't know.
That's a question, not a statement.
Yeah.
I should clarify. I don't know.
No, I'm with you, because if I have to pay for Spotify subscription and then plus pay for them to use it, on the user end, I hate saying this, okay, but on a common user, we're not going to care. Yes, I would want to know my money is going to all towards them, but in the end of the day, most people are going to say, if wherever I can get it, and it only costs me 50 cents, and, I get it that Apple's taking 30%. But yeah, Spotify is, they fire across the bow on that one. That was like, wow, that was a good move.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And if Apple ends up changing their tune.
But then Patreon take 12%, I believe, but then they offer more as well. They offer, you can have a forum, you can have, other things that go alongside the actual content, if that makes sense. So that's kind of their shot across the bow, is that, we take less, but also we offer more. So it's going to be an interesting space. And by the way, do you need to use the Apple Podcasts app to actually access the content, or can you bring it across to Overcast or something?
I'm going to say yes. All you need is the Apple Podcast app. You do not have Apple Music subscription, so you just open up the Apple Podcast, and it will be in there to purchase.
I want to listen to my podcast in Overcast.
Well, I don't know how that's going to work.
There's a lot to be, I think, uncovered, isn't it? We don't know the details yet, I guess.
Yeah, we won't know until next month, which is like, wow. Like, everything they announce is like, it'll be available the second half of May. It was like, okay.
Okay, I have Matthew Horsepool. I'm going to go ahead and bring you to the stage as well.
Yeah, hi, everyone. It's good to be here. this discussion about podcasts is really interesting. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what the market does, because there's what the creators want and there's what the users want. And I can't quite work out where it's going to sit. You know, you were saying earlier on about how, well, if Spotify have it and they don't charge, you know, if they don't take a cut, then the creators will all go to Spotify. And I think that makes sense from a creator's point of view, but from a listener's point of view, does Spotify have as many podcast listeners as iTunes? And are the listeners going to go to Spotify just because the creators get a bit more money? I don't think so. So I think the creators will have to stick with iTunes, because, you know, and Apple Podcasts, because that's where the listeners are. And so Apple will be able to sort of, you know, take that captive market. But it's quite a nice system that they've got going, because they don't own the content. So you can put your subscription-only content on Apple Podcasts, and you can also put it on Patreon or on your own website and charge for it there. So it's not an exclusive subscription through Apple. It's just a platform where you can host it if you want to.
It's a place, yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
As well.
That's
so
a very good point.
They could be on Spotify and on iTunes and on Patreon.
you could do both if you wanted to.
No, that's a good point. Not being exclusive. So Apple made, I think they're going to make a good move on that, making it not exclusive, because I think you're just losing people when you do exclusive. I think if the casters are smart about it, they're going to do what they do already with developers, is that they put their app on Google Play and they put their app on App Store, so they get both a best world. So I think the casters would offer their subscription on both platforms. So obviously they would make more money on Spotify than Apple, but they also can't eliminate those Apple people as well. I think they'll have it on both.
It's interesting though that Spotify then also have a service. So if you're paying like the 10 quid a month, you get, for example, the Joe Rogan podcast is over there now. You know, so which is something Apple haven't done, is gone for down the exclusivity kind of a podcast plus service. So there's like another layer to it. There's the paying for individual podcasts, but there's also the Spotify have this exclusivity if you're a subscriber level stuff as well. So
that may change. We'll see. Who else we have here?
I have another one I'm about to bring up to the stage. I have Jules DiBernardo, who I'm going to go ahead and okay, Jules, you are now live.
How are you?
Hi, Jules.
Hi. I'm good. How are you guys?
We've chatted on Twitter, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
And how are you on this fine, lovely afternoon?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good. What question do you have for us?
So about the Apple Podcasts, are they like going to be all subscription-based or?
No.
Not at all, no.
Yeah. All the podcasts that we have now are free, as we would love to know, and that we're used now. If this is just for people that are want to make a living off of podcasts, they want to make a little bit money on the side. So what Apple essentially have done is that they allow the podcaster themselves have the option to charge for those podcasts if they choose to do so. Like Dave was just saying earlier, a person may offer one for 50 cents a month or whatever it is that has no ads, and then they may offer a free one with ads, or they may just have an exclusive and just say you have to pay for this.
Or they might have bonus episodes. So you might get, like, I do subscribe to one, a sports one, which comes out. They do 5 episodes a week, but you get one for free, and then if you're a subscriber, you get the other 4. Like, some people go with that kind of model.
So. Oh, okay. Thanks.
What do you think of the purple announcement of the iPhone?
Oh, that would be so cool. I just got the 12 Pro, though, in, I think it's gold. But I really like that edition.
Yeah, I think people will like that color. I really do. So I thank you for weighing in.
You're welcome. Yeah.
You know, it was funny, before we move on, when I saw the purple phone, I was thinking all these Prince fans, all this Purple Rain. I was thinking, maybe they will get to all the Prince fans.
It's the in color now because Samsung did a purple S21 as well.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it seems to be just the color of the day. A few years ago, it was, what was it, rose gold? Now it's purple.
Exactly.
Cool. Shall we move on?
Definitely.
We want to go next. We go iMac. Yep. Where it's hilarious. I've been watching some of the YouTubers talking about the new iMacs, and they seem to be roundly of the opinion that they are the ugliest Macs ever.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, they've released a range of new, for people who don't know, a range of new iMacs. The same, roughly the same size as the old 21.5-inch, but now it's 24-inch because it has more edge-to-edge in 7 different bright colors. But I think the front bezel is kind of a light color or white even, and, you know, the edge around the screen, and it has a big, ugly chin on the bottom of it, apparently. So it's not being well received by many people from what I've seen. But as a machine, it's M1 Mac, you know, it's the first M1 iMac, so with the new Apple Silicon. So I'm sure it's a great machine, really, really powerful, but it's interesting to see how it's been received in terms of how it looks.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. It's got a mixed review because I've heard people say it's gorgeous, and then people say it's ugly. The best description I have heard is that it's just, think of an iPad on a stand. It is...
And yeah, iPad on a stick, but with a big ugly chin at the bottom. That's yeah. Nice.
I was like, wow. But, you know, this... We saw this coming, or at least, you know, I knew this was coming because you knew it had to be imminent that they're going to drop a new iMac because they discontinue it about, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? And I said, oh, they're going to come out with a new iMac. What I was surprised was not only how thin it was, and you knew it had to be thin because the M1 chip in it just made it able to make everything smaller. And I think it's... In a nutshell, if I needed a desktop, I think I would pick this. I think the beauty of it would be beautiful to look at. Now, I wouldn't really take advantage of the monitor, but I was surprised that they not only kept with the M1 chip, which we knew was going to be in it, but I was surprised there weren't any other upgrades to the M1, like other than the 8-core.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking having couple tiers, like a low-end 8-core and a 16-core, it just shows that either they weren't quite ready for that or they're holding that back for the fall, because I know there has to be more cores.
And there has to be, they're going to bring probably a 27 or something equivalent to the current 27-inch iMac out as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe it'll be 30-inch, who knows, but they will be bringing out a larger one.
The colors.
Pink will be more popular as well. Or sorry, more powerful. I like you. I'm glad they're doing colors. I think maybe it's the front they got wrong. I think people have no issue with the back. And I don't understand. I don't understand why they made it so. They didn't need to make it so thin at the desktop. So
yeah.
It's a stranger, like focusing so much on how thin it is when it's just sitting there. It's not you're not carrying it around.
This is a way of telling Intel to sit back because, you know, Intel was making fun of Apple of not being colorful. And here we are. Boom, here's all the different colors. All right, Intel. But nonetheless, it's a heavy-duty computer. I think it's a great computer. I think it will last you for years, so I don't think you'll have regrets if you decide to buy this instead of later on, if whatever that may be, M1X or M2. But I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised. Were you surprised to see that the iMac came out?
No, not at all. We were fully expecting it. Michael, you're a recent convert to Mac, Michael. So
And I tell you what, the experience that I've had is very, very good. You know, I really enjoy a lot of things about the Mac. The M1 is very, very, very fast. Things load up instantly. You know, it's really, really cool. The thing that I don't particularly care for is still text editing. I'm a little bit more comfortable with the JAWS and the Windows way of doing things, especially since I'm doing that sort of thing at work with Windows. So, but no, I really, the M1, if you're a Mac user, you will love the M1. I personally don't, you know, as a blind person, I'd say just get a MacBook Air and call it a day. You don't need the MacBook Pro. No.
Yeah, the one thing I really like about this iMac, though, guys, and what was really compelling to me is if you are working at home or school or whatever have you, I mean, you got to hand it to them. That speaker system and that new microphone, boom, microphone that they got going there, where it is so much better. I was thinking, wow, that alone. And, you know, they finally heard the haters about that webcam being so bad. Yeah. They actually put an HD in this camera, and they really emphasized that. You know, they put a lot of weight into the sound of it and the microphone being background noise cancellation and things like that. I think
what they didn't do, though, Thomas, and this really surprised me, is they didn't put Face ID in there. Like, a computer is a perfect place for Face ID. I have a Windows Surface laptop for work. It's like from 2018, and they have facial recognition in it, and it's so great. You just sit down at your desk, you just glance in the direction of your laptop, and you're in.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I know they brought Touch ID to the keyboard, but I just think, come on, let's.
It makes you wonder if they weren't quite ready because, you know, with the shortage of LiDAR, they would have to cannibalize that LiDAR supply already to put into that monitor. I don't know. There's so many questions, but that's a good point. I do like the keyboard options. I like that. I think it's just so cool that you can have a family that can just put their finger on that Touch ID and that profile will come up automatically for that person. That is cool.
Yeah. I do love Touch ID. Don't get me wrong. I just expected by now that their laptops and their new laptops and their new iMacs would have Face ID.
Exactly. Well, let's ask maybe two or three people if you have any thoughts on the new iMac. Raise your hand.
Okay. I got four hands raised right now. Ivan Soto, I've got you. We just brought you up to the stage now, so you are live. I've got three others behind you. So go ahead there.
Hey, Ivan.
Hey, how are you? How are you guys?
We're doing great. How are you?
Just great.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah, what are your thoughts on the iMac?
Listening to you guys talk. Honestly, I like it. I'm not a big Mac user myself, but I like the fact that because we have an iMac at home for everyone to use. And I was just thinking about what you just said with the Face ID or with a Touch ID. Sorry, that's really cool. That is one thing that I kind of wish I hold it off because I got the family computer for them, and I wish I would have waited a little.
It's always the way with Apple. You always regret it because they always bring something better out 6 months later.
Now, how old is your iMac then?
Like a year old.
Okay, so it's really new.
Yeah.
You're like me with the. I bought a MacBook Air, the last Intel MacBook Air, and regret it so much.
Now, what do you think? What's the most compelling part about the iMac announcement that you kind of wish besides the Touch ID profiles?
Cool. Like it's insane how thin they are, man. Like it's kind of cool. I've just heard about them. I've actually never seen them. But apparently they're really like really thin. That seems pretty cool because the iMac's already thin enough.
Oh, I know. And what I'm hearing is still thin. They actually put the ports on the side instead of the back. Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, because the earphone jack is the pin or whatever on an earphone, a headphone jack is longer than the the width of the
thickness of the computer.
Well, look at this. At least they included a headphone jack, right?
That's true.
I love that.
Unlike the iPad, where they took it away from me.
Thank you, Ivan.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Okay, next up we have Adrian Tamason. And Adrian, hello, Adrian. You should now be live.
All right, Adrian here.
Oh, Adrian, hi.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, Adrian, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. So what do you think? What do you make of this new iMac?
Oh, so my next purchase on the in the Apple Store should be a Mac, and I was just on the point to jump for a Mac Mini with M1. So I'm just wondering now to sit for another few weeks to go with iMac instead.
Do you have any usable vision? Do you mind me asking? So I'd be curious if the monitor aspect.
No, I'm completely blind. The point is, I like to have it with the screen more for my kids. They are watching movies, they are sighted.
Okay, yeah.
But the other hand, I'm intrigued by the sound system what they have on board. And I can't wait to go in a shop to see how it sounds, you know.
Boy, that's a tough question.
Six speakers, yeah.
I would definitely go to the Apple Store and listen to it. Because if you are going to use it to watch shows, if there's other people besides you, you're going to be using it and they want the webcam. If you do a lot of video conference or anything like that, almost want to consider the iMac. But if you're not, then, you know, the Mac Mini is perfect because the price is just right. It's not very expensive. And it's got the same onboard stuff other than the webcam and the sound system. So that's the only disadvantage.
But if you need the monitor, then...
Yeah. I don't know how many slots are available in iMac at the moment, you know, USB, Thunderbolt.
I think it's got... The lower price one has two, and the higher price one has four.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Two of which are Thunderbolt, two of which are... basic USB.
Yeah. So I'll think about it. If I'll enjoy it, how it sounds, and considering have a webcam, and I really love that concept with the Touch ID on the keyboard. It's really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
And also what I was surprised to see with this event is the new iPad with the M1 chip. So that is...
We'll be coming to that shortly.
Definitely. That was amazing. And we'll probably head to that topic real soon. Thank you for coming on. Then. Well, Dave, I think it's ready to move on to the next topic. What is that?
I guess we'll go to iPad, will we?
The iPad Pro.
iPad Pro. So they released updates for a second year in a row, I think, but this time a bigger update. So the larger one has a new screen for those who can benefit from a better screen. This micro LED, so sharper than the LCD by all accounts. And very interestingly, they didn't go for something like an A14X chip, as we may have all expected, but they actually put the M1 itself in there. And I think one key piece of that is that it allows Thunderbolt. I may be misunderstanding that, but I believe that's the case.
Yes.
So...
it is amazing.
That's really the key difference, isn't it? I think aside from that, it's a very similar iPad to what it was before, the iPad Pro. I'm on the iPad Air because it's more than enough for my use. So it's hard for me to say why we would want an iPad Pro unless you really are doing Pro work. But they do look really cool.
I'm mixed on this because here's I'm going to give you my two cents on this, and this is why I'm kind of mixed on it. Is that I think putting the M1 in the iPad Pro was fantastic move on Apple. I think that was awesome. That is not something that I was like, whoa, they did? They actually put a real M1, not like you said, like an A14X or whatever chip that they have in time. But putting the M1 in, and it just made it, whoa. I think those with vision, low vision, I think they're going to like the bigger and new mini LED screen. There's no doubt about it. I think it'll look clean, crisper, and whatever have not. Now, where it gets me, though, Dave, is the price. The price on that for the 12.9, the high-end one, is you're bumping up into the MacBook Pro or in the iMac area when you come to that price. I mean, if you look at the high-end iPad Pro, you get the 16 gig and the 2 terabyte. You're talking about $2,000. That's the price. So you at that point, it's like, dang. My problem with the iPad right now is that it is so powerful. Unfortunately, it's not even being close being tapped. In other words, there's nothing out there at this time that even gets close tapping that processor.
And the software is so undercooked still, isn't it?
Like
I can't even use Excel on it because VoiceOver doesn't work properly in an Excel sheet. You know,
like, that's the thing is I feel like that's one of the issues with the iPad, and you know, it's cool, but it's not you're not going to be as productive on it as you are going to be, you know, I hate to compare it to Windows because, you know, we are, this is Apple, but the reality of it is there, you know, you're not going to be as efficient on it as you are going to be with Windows or with your Mac, you know, with a full-fledged keyboard and whatever. You know, the technology is there, it's great, but just the experience for voiceover users, it's just, well, it's okay if you want to do basic stuff.
I did buy, like, I got the Magic Keyboard for, I have the 11-inch Air, which is, again, a very, still H14, it's very powerful. And with the Magic Keyboard, it's great, and it's 10 times snappier with VoiceOver than my MacBook Air. Like, it's amazing. I love it for real, for email, for web browsing. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. But like I say, as soon as I want to do some work, and I find just those productivity apps just aren't as easy to use, you just hit a wall and you go back to your computer. That's the problem.
It seems that the iPad Pro has it down packed when it comes to hardware specs. When it comes to software, it was way underwhelming. I think Apple is waiting for developers to tap into that processor. I think that's what they're hoping. They got a long head of themselves hoping, you know, it's disappointing to see Apple kind of like, okay, the show is here it is. Okay, you guys take over from here. Now take advantage of it. You know, they need to kind of stop doing that and bring in other things like Logic Pro and Final Cut, all those, and bring those up to where it can be and tap that maximum power of the iPad Pro. Now, obviously, I think professional stands, if you're a photographer or if you're into video or and those things, I think people will use it. Now, I'm talking about commercial, so general users in this aspect, if you're blind, it's a tough sell. I prefer just buying an iMac than I would an iPad Pro. Now, obviously, iMac is not portable. Yes, you can get a MacBook Pro, but...
MacBook Air.
Yeah. So, that was a tough one. I think they got a hard sale in front of them. I think a lot of people are going to buy is schools and professionals. I can get that. I think low vision people, they may end up doing that because they like the iOS. Just like you said, Michael, the Mac is nice, but if you're from a Windows perspective, it's a little harder for you. So, but it's a lot easier using iOS. So I can see the people using iPad Pro because they want the simplicity.
It's definitely moving forward year on year. Like, it's getting, are definitely people who could use an iPad as their main computer.
It's like when I teach, for those that don't know, I teach assistive tech at Chicago Lighthouse. I teach senior citizens who are blind and visually impaired how to use iPhones and iPads. And sometimes my clients will ask me, you know, I want to get started using a computer. And what I will usually tell them is, if you don't have any previous computer experience, an iPad is probably going to do all you're going to need, unless you want to do anything really serious. So for the basics, for everyday users, it's going to meet your needs. It's just when you get into more heavier stuff and more, you know, higher productivity types of things, that I think that the experience for blind and visually impaired users is probably going to be better on a computer.
Yeah.
For the basic,
the hardware is, yeah, and the hardware is amazing. Like, the only,
it is.
Only aspect of the hardware I don't like is that it's one port, you know, one USB port. So if you want to, you know, could we record a podcast on an iPad? I'm not sure. I'd have to get some sort of adapters maybe to even be able to have headphones and a microphone plugged in at the same time. You know, the simple things like that would frustrate me a little as well.
I'm thinking that I've heard people talk about this, and I have to agree. I think this is not the end of the show on this topic. Hinting iOS 15, now that we're getting a lot of rumors now, well, some rumors, but they're going to focus on that iPod or the iPad more, and they're going to put a lot more interface on that. And I think we have yet to look forward to, I think they're going to introduce some new things in iOS 15 that's going to be specific to the iPad to make it more robust. Now, saying more robust, it's going to make things a little more complicated. You know, we've got the multitasking now. We've got the split screen. And people coming from the iPhone to iPad, that can be, a little bit of a learning curve. And I think they're just trying to make it a little more complicated so it isn't just an iPhone.
It's always a balancing act, isn't it?
Yes.
Complexity versus and simplicity, but capability. But yeah, I gotta say, I love my iPad though. I absolutely.
Would you get the iPad Pro?
No, because I can't see anything that my iPad Air isn't capable of doing that the iPad Pro could do that I would need. Like, I'm not a video. I'm not doing video rendering or, you know, anything.
Really?
Like that.
You're not doing that sort of thing, Dave?
Oh, man. I know. Well, shocking.
What about that?
I think the iPad Air is plenty, plenty for me. Oh, the bigger screen is the only reason I might, but.
Exactly. Is that the one with the follow me? They have that new technology in the lens that follow you around a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that'd be kind of cool for Zoom calls and stuff.
Exactly. So that's my point, was that I think that, again, if you're heavy into Zoom or you work from home and things like that, and that video conference is a big thing, and you don't want the complexity of the Mac, it's almost like, wow, I think that would fit to those people as well, even if you're blind.
True.
How about we bring up some people that has specific questions about or their thoughts on the new iPads Pro?
We've got Michael Deweese, who, you know, is another developer. Michael Deweese, I've got you up on the stage now, and we're ready for it.
Hey, everyone. So I watched the event, and I have a few things I wanted to let you guys know about, and a question to see what the general consensus is. I did look at the iMac. All models have two USB 3.0 Type-C ports, and the other two are Thunderbolt on all models, and they are on the back.
Yeah, it's the headphone jack that's on the side.
Yeah, the headphone jack's the one on the side. And it's just interesting, you know, all of them are built the same. I think we're going to see a 27 or a 30-inch later this year with higher specs.
I hope so.
But, you know, the interesting thing is they look just like iPads. They look, they have the same form factor as an iPad.
And, exactly. It's like,
you know,
you're coming to that line where, like, the iPad Pro is an iMac. What's the difference?
Right.
Well, especially if and when they bring touch to Mac.
Right. And, you know, they said the iPad will never get Mac OS, but will it? And here's the thing. I think
it'll get some new OS. That's amazing.
I think there's a new OS. I think there's a new OS in the pipeline, guys. I think it's something that we haven't seen before, because one of the things that happened earlier this year, we saw shortcuts get broken for all of those shortcuts that they had to fix. For the web links. And now even on Mac, when you are in Safari, it says get shortcut. Why is that?
It is interesting, isn't it? It's kind of like, why did you put the M1 on there? Do you have more up your sleeves and you're just not ready to reveal it? Which is why I was saying the iOS 15, is that where we're going to see where they're going to introduce this new iPad OS kind of a thing? Or please don't let us down, because I think you're just going to short yourself of doing this. And if they're going to bank on developers making the Mac OS quality apps on just specific iOS for the iPad, boy, I just don't see that happening, but we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, can you imagine AppKit, the developer toolkit used to build Mac apps, all of those apps working on iPad OS this year. And that's why it would support the M1 chip.
That would be huge.
I don't see them doing it, because I think they're trying to push people away from AppKit, if anything, aren't they?
You know, I think there's so many things written in AppKit, I don't think that they can. There's, you know, much of the Mac ecosystem is still written in AppKit. And actually, Swift UI apps still utilize AppKit to work on the Mac. So it's one of those things you just don't know until Apple does it, but the signs are pointing in a direction.
Boy, it's tough. No, they're not going to make an iPad Pro to be a Mac and an iPad. I don't think that's happening. I think they want to make very specific. The iPad Pro has its specific needs and its specific rights. So, yes, can they expand on that OS? Yes. Are they going to be closer to a Mac? No. I think they're going to want to try to make it divided, because there's no point of making a touch-based Mac. They would have done that like Microsoft does with a Surface Pro. I don't think they want to take Mac to that approach. They've said that many times over and over, and I don't think they're going to do it. But we'll have to wait and see. But that's some good questions. You know, go ahead.
Rene Ritchie makes a good point, and he does several videos on touch-based Macs. And he says every idea at Apple is a bad idea until it's good. And so Steve Jobs said the iPod will never get video. Yeah. We got the iPod video. We'll never
use a stylus.
Right. The iPad will never have a stylus, and we have the Apple Pencil. And that's true. So I think Apple's not going to do anything until they feel like it's good. And if you look at the design language of Big Sur, they're adding more white space, making it more touch centric. So I think they're looking at possibilities.
Yeah, I think one day we are going to see. I think one day it's not too big of a stretch to imagine. Even if they vehemently deny it now, I think you know that's not to say that I think it'd be too much of a stretch if one day in any number of years they say, oh, we're going to have the iPad Mac OS and then Apple OS.
But I do think that we are going to see at least a push towards bringing developer tools like Xcode and Logic and those Logic for music production and podcasting over to the iPad, because why else do we need a processor that's the M1 and 8 exactly. gigs of RAM, guys. That's a big thing. 8 gigs of RAM and 16 gigs.
16, yeah.
On that I 1 terabyte and up model.
WWDC could be interesting for the iPad right. this year.
Well, you know, this is the iPad year. Last year was the iPhone. It's a TikTok cycle, so it's going to be interesting.
It'll be very interesting. Thank you, Michael, for your input. I think we're going to head to our last topic because we're going over and go for it, Dave.
We will stick Apple TV and AirTags into the one, and I think we know which one we'll spend more time on.
We can talk about both.
Apple TV was updated in some way, a new chip. I think that's about it. But people around the world rejoicing at a new Siri remote for the Apple TV. I may even buy one for my – I'm not buying a new Apple TV, but I may buy the remote. With more buttons, actual buttons. So that's a popular thing. And then, of course, AirTags. I bought one today. And these are like Tile, which are sort of Bluetooth – tags that you can put on key rings or in your wallet or in your bag or whatever.
Or on guide dogs, apparently.
Or on guide dogs. I've seen a lot of people saying that, yes.
I thought that was so cool.
The cool thing about these is if you have an iPhone 11 or newer, you get an extra feature in it, which is precision finding. So when you're even in the room, it will literally guide you to the tag, like using the camera and, we believe, with good speech from VoiceOver, though I'll be interested to test that. So I think that precision finding is really what makes it stand out. I don't know if you guys agree.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So we'll start with the Apple TV. I think that was lackluster. No offense to Apple. That was not going to win. Honestly, I think Apple TV...
And it's still so expensive.
It is $180, so you get the new remote. I get that, and I'm totally with you. You're not alone. There's a lot of people saying, I'll just pay the $60 for the remote because it'll work with your newer Apple TV generations if you have that. So I think that'd be worth doing. But, you know, we just bought a new Roku. Why? Because Roku does exactly what I need. I just use it for streaming. It has everything I need, and it works beautifully. And it works great. And it's way, 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 way cheaper. I do have an Apple TV third generation. We are not going to replace it. I just don't think it's worth $180. And I was surprised because really, yeah, other than the speed boost from the Apple 4K or HD that they want to call it, there really isn't anything in there that says you got to have this. I mean, it's just... did you guys feel that very it was just underwhelming?
Yeah, very. I thought they might this year bring out a stick rather than the full big box. You know what I mean? Just one stream, like I say, and bring it out, $79 or something. I'm sticking in the back of your TV.
I'm totally with you, Dave, is that they need a stream stick. Get rid of this set-top box. I get that they want the app on it, and I think for those that want app, and they keep pushing people for game on it. I'm thinking, I don't know a single kid out there that has an Apple TV for gaming. It's just, it's almost a lost cause there. So quit pushing on the gaming on
it. Because they keep doing it half-heartedly. Here's arcade, and then you hear nothing kind of more about it.
We got the controllers for it, and it's like, that's great, but if I'm going to put my PS5 control on it, it's going to be on a PS5, not an Apple TV for our, and you know, I don't know. I think that they have a very hard ground here to move on. I think you're right. I think what would jump this is as they did with the HomePod. They came with the HomePod Mini. They need an Apple TV Mini. They need a Stream Stick. That's where we want it.
That basically wouldn't have the capability to play the games, but like if you just want it for YouTube and Netflix and Apple TV Plus, then here you go, you know.
Yeah. So that's my thought on the Apple TV. Now the AirTag, holy smokes, this is a game changer. I think the $29.99 was the good price. Now I will have to say I was disappointed that you need literally a duct tape if you're going to use it. Otherwise, you got to buy accessories, which I was totally blown out of my mind. I was thinking getting one for the car key, $35 for the car key plus $30 for the AirTag. I was like, what?
I couldn't believe it. I bought one today because I'm not that excited about them, but I wanted to have one to see what they're like, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was €35 here for the AirTag. €39 for a little leather key ring. I'm not paying you more than the tag itself for a key ring. So I'm just going to wait and get one on Amazon for 10.
Yes. And that's the best thing they got going is that they're allowing third-party accessories to allow you to buy accessories for the AirTag. Now that's made it. I'm surprised it didn't even come with a little loophole. Yeah, you want that? That's $30. I was like, $30 for a little loophole? I was like, I'll buy something $5 on Amazon. However, now get back to the AirTag itself. I think it's worth $29.99. I am definitely going to get one myself. I like
cheaper
it.
Cheaper than I expected.
I like the precision thing because it supposedly not only knows how far it is, but it knows if it's below you or above you, which is like, whoa, it knows.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've read a couple Apple Viz posts already. They want to get it for their guide dogs. They just want to put it right on their collar.
That's awesome. I think we're going to see people come up with different ways to use these things and just creative ways that, you know, that we, you know, that sighted people would never think of. You know, like one, you know, person's like, oh, you know, I could put it, it'd be nice to have so that I know where the dog is, and if he's asleep, I don't have to wake him up to find him.
Exactly.
That is so cool. You know, so that really fascinating topic. If you're listening, go read that. It's a forum topic. So does anyone want to get, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, the title is like, anyone want to get AirTags for your guide dog?
It is something pretty like cool.
That. Really cool read. Definitely go do that.
Somebody else put a post on there saying they want to put on the Roomba. And that makes sense too, because I have a Roomba and I'd lose that Roomba because she'll get stuck and I have no idea where she's at. And they were thinking putting it on top. I said, that is perfect. That's probably one of those things I would do. There's so many thoughts you can put in your kid's backpack. So if you want to keep track of their backpack, everything about
I was even thinking things like if I was at a, you know, in a campsite or something to find my way back to my tent or something, you know what I mean? Like, which could be very difficult. Like, that's mad things you could do, or in a bar to find your way back to your table. There's all sorts of things I was thinking of. Like.
Yeah. I love the Parlock, which means that, you know, my fear of tiles is that somebody would take those tiles and reuse it. You can't do that with the AirTag. So that's a bonus right there, is that once it's locked to you, it's locked to you. So if somebody were to steal it, obviously they either smash it because they want to steal whatever you have, or if they want to reuse the AirTag and they're not going to be able to. The other thing that a lot of people had a lot of fear about and put my mind somewhat to an ease is about the stalker mode. It is interesting that it will alert you. If you have an iPhone, it'll tell you you have an AirTag friend with you, or it's just telling you that you have an unknown AirTag that's on you. But I'm thinking those poor Android people. You can use Android, but it takes 3 days before it lets you know that it's stalking on you.
You know if the iPhone lets you know right away, or does it wait 3 days too?
No, the iPhone is immediately.
You wouldn't want to bleeping the whole time. If you're in the car with somebody and they have an AirTag, yeah, you wouldn't want your phone keep going, hey, there's an AirTag. Oh, no.
Okay, you know, so to answer your question, Michael, if somebody placed that on me and I went home and you're away from that device, it will tell me immediately that you have an unknown AirTag near you.
Interesting. Okay, but with Android, it waits.
It waits 3 days.
Oh, terrific. What could
Yeah, exactly. And they say once you put it in lost mode is when that person that's trying to find it, which is kind of cool. They were trying to stout that, you know, we have over 1 billion devices that can find your lost AirTag or your item. So you got phones everywhere that are iPhone that can find those things for you in lost mode. I thought it was cool. But what they didn't say is that, yeah, you don't have any personal information before it's in lost mode, but once it's in lost mode, then you reveal your personal information to those people, obviously, because you want to be contacted. So I almost in a stalker mode, I'm thinking worst case scenario. So if somebody tag you with that and they put it lost and they see where you go home and you say, oh, I have it here. Now they got your phone number. I don't know. I'm thinking worst case scenario. So there's some bad things about it, but I think Apple did a great job in trying their best to make it private as possible. But I definitely will get one.
I do know on the Android thing as well, if an Android person sees one, they can pick it up and scan it. Like an iPhone user can, and it'll give them the details, whatever you've put into it, your name, your phone number, whatever it might be that you've
definitely. I love it. Which is good. It's very small. Definitely want to keep it out of small children. It's definitely, you know, my wife works at a hospital, and you'd be amazed how many people come in with their kids and they swallowed a quarter or a dime or a nickel. Oh. And I'm thinking, this AirTag is pretty small. So you got to be careful with that.
No, Thomas. No.
I found it. It's in your stomach. Oh, there it goes. Out it went. So I'm glad that Dave, you're getting one. I'm getting one. And so we'll have to give our more information about this later. Maybe we'll post this on to AppleViz of a review. I will definitely do a podcast on it, just kind of give my view how to use it and set up. I thought a 4-pack for $100, not bad. That's more reasonable.
Yeah,
I didn't think that was too bad.
The individual price, because apparently Tile go up to, you know, $39 or something, I think. So, you know, I thought I feared Apple's would be maybe $49 or something.
Exactly.
So I was actually relieved at the price being $29. I think it's actually a pretty reasonable
And you know
price.
The quality is going to be bar none the best. It's going to be really good. I can't imagine. I have yet to hear the sound that it makes, but I bet it's really good. I bet it's not this cheap, easy, you know, the Tiles go dee, 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 dee. I think Apple would do something way better than that. So I'm anxious to look forward to it. I'm curious whether people, if they're going to get it, and if they do, what are they going to use it for? That's what I'm thinking.
I think I might get some. I mean, eventually, you know, I think I'd like to have one. You know, just I live in a really small, you know, like a really small space, so I don't have, you know, a lot of my stuff is in very close proximity. But I think I'd like to get one for my wallet, just, you know, for peace of mind. You know, that way, if for some reason I misplace it, I don't have to, you know, be panicking. Where did I put it? Just press, you know, just get it to be play really quickly, and maybe for my keys as well.
Yeah, there's some questions because, you know, let's just say you and I are together. I have my car key or whatever that has an AirTag on it, and I'm near around you. Will it keep pestering you? You know, these are just things I'm just wondering.
That's we'll what say, I wonder. Just say you and Michael are out for a coffee in a cafe,
yeah.
And he goes to the bathroom. Are you suddenly, because he's out of range, are you suddenly starting to get pestered by Michael's
yeah. AirTag? So there's an unknown identified AirTag near you. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm with Michael. So yeah. There's a lot of...
It won't happen when Michael is in range. I do know that because as long as it's connected to his, it's in range of his phone, that
okay.
Won't pester other people. But it's, if he goes out of range, then that's when it might pester.
So if we're at a bar, we're having drinks, he goes to the bathroom, he left his stuff there, then it's going to pop up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. If I take the phone with me and the AirTag,
yeah.
I don't take the AirTag.
And you're out of range. And it's, I think the range is quite long, though. I think it's like 50 meters or something. So it'll have to be quite a big bar. But
that's a good range. So do you guys think this will be a big hit for Apple?
Yes.
I think
companies like Tile will have an issue. You know, there was a hearing here in the U.S. Before a committee,
yes.
About app stores and just a bunch of things. And the companies, third party companies are already saying, this is just one of many examples, Apple's tight integration, Apple's able to do more because they control the platform. Personally,
well,
I don't care.
That's why in 14.5. And iOS 14.5 is that Find My Now allows third-party accessories. So Tiles can take advantage of that API if they want to. But I understand it's kind of like Apple knew that they're putting themselves in a corner if they didn't open this up. And obviously you're still going to get some bona fide things you can't get with Tiles, like the U1 chip. It's going to still have some limitations.
The precision finding is the bit you'll miss with a Tile,
yep.
I think.
Exactly. How about we take
Unless maybe they can put a weird one.
All right, so I have, looks like I've got three. Well, last time I looked, I had three hands raised. First one up is Tiffany Milburn. Go ahead, you
awesome.
Are live.
Hey,
can
Tiffany.
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. How are you?
Awesome.
Thank you for
showing,
coming on the clubhouse.
I'm showing it to you from my new AirPods. You're welcome. I like the Apple Vest. They're really, I started listening to them when I got my first iPhone back in 2016, and they're helpful. So I'm curious about these AirTags. I heard they're selling accessories to go with them. Do we know what kind of accessories or what, does that make any sense?
Sure. Tell me what the Apple is selling.
So they have a little key ring, so you can has a little pouch that you can pop the AirTag into and add it to your key rings. Or they have a little loops as well, which I don't really understand what they are. Do you, Thomas?
They're just a loop. So it's basically you put the AirTag in the center, and it just becomes like a necklace.
Okay.
So it's a loop.
To tie it to a backpack or something?
Yes. So it's a drawstring kind of, I don't know how you would call it, but you would tie it up like you do with the Tiles now with your car keys or whatever not.
Okay.
The AirTag itself, you see, is just a disc with no...
Nothing.
It doesn't even have a little hole to put a key ring through, like nothing.
so you need
these accessories to attach it to anything.
You have to with... Or if you have a pouch. So if you leave it in your purse, you wouldn't need one. You just put it... You just drop the thing right into your purse or your billfold.
Yeah.
But if you need to attach it... Other than duct tape, you have to buy the accessories. Mm-hmm. Now, I do know that Amazon is coming out with a huge slew of third-party accessories. It is everything you could even possibly think of. They got it. It is amazing. I think that's why I think Apple's got a hit on their hand, because they allow third-party accessories to make whatever they want. So anything you can think of, I bet you they'll make a dog collar. They'll make everything. You could probably find on Amazon at some point.
Awesome. Yeah, those third-party things tend to be more affordable, especially if you're on a limited income. So.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And that's what I wonder. I hear people talk about attaching it to their guide dogs. I don't have a Tile or an AirTag, so I could go either way with this. But what I wonder is if there'd be a way you could attach it to your cane.
Should be.
Yeah. You know, people were talking about buying one of these to put on the bottom of their very expensive tennis racket and sports equipment. And it's just amazing. Yeah. So why not a cane? I see no reason why you can't. Somebody just needs to make a little adapter for it that just snaps at the top of your cane, maybe towards below where your hand grip is, and just like a little ring, and just holds it right in there. I see no reason why you couldn't do that.
Awesome. Thanks. Because I don't own an AirTight, because that's what I wonder about. Good thing we had the third-party accessories, because if not, if you're buying the full price for the AirTags and for the accessories, then I wonder at that point if it'd be cheaper to get a tile. I don't own either one, so I could honestly go either way on this. But it's true. Something I'm looking into.
I'm with you. You know, when I buy my iPhones, I always buy these $5 cases off of Amazon. I'm with you. I'm not spending $75 for a case, although, you know, you purchase what you get. But in this case, I think the AirTag is reasonable. It's about the same price. It's got the replaceable battery, which is a big plus for me.
That's a plus.
Yes. Awesome. I want to be able to replace that battery, and not with just any battery, but a generic universal battery that I could buy from Walmart. It isn't a proprietary battery and something that Apple can only sell. This is a battery I can buy. So that is another big plus. Two, that I can buy accessories for and convert it to anything I want. That's another plus. Where tiles, you got to buy for what you want it for. And, you know, they have different sizes. This is just a one size fit all, and I can buy accessories, anything I want to use. Or so I want to move it from my cane to something else, I can do that.
It might hold out then and see what comes up for these AirTags then, since I'm not really in any hurry. See what accessories they come out with, and then maybe go from there.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Tiffany. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And do you know what the idea is with I've heard people talk about these Apple TV remotes, and people post about them on my tech group. I don't own an Apple TV, but I know a lot of people did not like the old remote, and they're really looking forward to this new one. What's the difference there? I don't own an Apple TV, so.
More buttons, really. So the previous one had kind of a swipe pad kind of for the directional movement, and only had a small number of buttons, and it was quite difficult to tell which way was up as well.
Yeah, it sounds kind of finicky.
And you would accidentally swipe things by mistake, and yeah, so I hate
it. You don't really get that with physical buttons. That makes sense. Thank you.
All right, next we have Alan Halst. Go ahead and unmute.
Hey, Alan.
Hi, how you doing, Thomas? I think there's this issue of information versus noise is the first thing I think of when you say that. I'm an old man, been around a long time, seen a lot of technology come and go. And I think the AirTag success or failure will depend on how convenient it is to use and how much of the information is provided when you need it, as opposed to being noise. Well, you were talking about that earlier, like somebody's phone going off all the time when it sees an AirTag. And I think the paradigm I think about most is digitize. Which, when I first heard about it, I bought it and thought it would be wonderful, because I wasn't willing to buy one of those, you know, $3,000 scanners only for the purpose of barcodes. And when it was in the iPhone, I thought it would be wonderful. But of course, the challenge was it was hard to read the barcodes, and just so much trouble that I didn't use it much. I think this will be the story of the AirTags. Are they easy to use?
Yes. You know, if there's anything what Apple normally does, it is going to be a breeze. Everything that comes nowadays, HomePod Mini, AirPod Max, everything I have purchased from them, it is so simple. I just like turn on my HomePod Mini, boom, it sees it, I set it up. AirTags are going to be a similar experience. It is seamless, it's very accessible, and I promise you it'll be easy to set up. It'll be really nice. And I think what makes this really compelling and makes it different is what Dave says, that precise finder or that U1 chip, you're going to get this haptic feeling on your phone. And I'll be honest, yes, I can listen to it. I can have the tiles emit its little sound, but it's that one thing of being able to like take my phone and saying, all right, let's play. You're getting warm. You're getting warmer. You're getting really warm, and you get that haptic feeling. So it's like this little less,
I'm
little
with you
less.
On haptics.
and you kind of
on the haptics. Yes.
Yeah, and you can turn your phone to the left, and it's like, bzzz, and so it's like, whoa, this is neat. Here's what neat.
I want. I have an AirTag in my car. My wife and I go out, and this happened to us when she was getting her last COVID shot. You know, it was one of these big, huge, big parking lots, and there was a lot going on, and we lost our car. And it is so, I'm not going to swear. Oop, I almost did. I'm sorry. It is so irritating to not be able to help with that. And if it works that way with the haptics, and if it works from far away, now we're getting exciting. Now we're getting to something that I could really imagine incorporating. I'll tell you another way I would use that is I go to the grocery store. I get a box, a clerk to help me. And it ends up that I buy more groceries than I can carry home with my dog. So I decided to call my wife, and she is going to drive down, and we're going to go to the car and pick it up. I would love to be able to find the car with my phone without a lot of being the blind guy in the parking lot that people are yelling at. So I'm excited.
Yeah. No, I have heard people want to tag it to the car. I mean, that kind of defeats the whole point of the Apple Map and place your my car park is here. I suppose you can use that, but you still have the limitations of range. So it isn't something like in a huge parking lot is going to work that great. because what if I'm two aisle over and it's like, and I got to go through all these cars. There's got to be a lot more thinking behind it, but like Dave says, I think the max is 50 meters. So you got your limitations there. So I think it's going to be more for people that really can't find things a lot, I think it's going to come down to some pretty genius ideas that people come up with. Like Tiffany said, on a cane, how often do I lose my cane?
That's
I don't know
idea.
Where I left it. Yeah. That's a pretty good idea. It's going to be those kind of cool stuff is what's going to make this really sell. And I think once people hear what other people experience and what they do with it, I think that's what's going to be really awesome. I think we'll take one more question.
Okay. Next up is Katrina Sue. Go ahead and unmute.
Hey, Katrina.
Hello. Hey, Katrina. Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me ask my question on here. I'm going to try and make this quick so I don't take up too much of everybody's time. So basically my question is, let's just say, two friends, this is about the AirTags and Tiles thing. So two friends are hanging out, one friend has an AirTag or a Tile, the other friend does not. Now, if one friend has to get up and, step out of the room or whatever, is the phone, the friend that does have the iTag or whatever, or vice versa, is it going to be going, is the phone going to be going off or whatever? Or what if you're just in the store and you've got, you don't have an iTag or a Tile, but, is your phone still going to go off because you've got people that do have Tiles and Tags
only,
surrounding you?
Only if they're not near it, I believe.
Right.
If they're not
the,
near,
if the owner of the AirTag is not nearby.
So let's just take this.
So if their personal AirTag is not nearby them, so this would have nothing to do with me because I do not have an iTag. Or an AirTag, or Tile, correct?
Okay. So, we were just talking about how if Michael and I were at a bar, I have an AirTag. It's not going to go off on his iPhone, number one, because I'm in and near the AirTag because it knows I'm there. However, as soon as I leave that area or I gave Michael my car key with the AirTag, no, Michael, you can't drive my car. But my point is that would alert him as soon as when I am out of range. Now,
okay, because the Tiles, he has your AirTag.
Yes, yeah, so you will only get a notification if an AirTag tag is in the area and its owner is nowhere to be found. You will get that alert.
Even if it's a complete stranger? Even if it's someone I don't even know who they are?
Yes. So let's just say some creep.
It's a safety feature so that so you just imagine somebody was stalking you and they wanted to put an AirTag near you so that they could track you. This means you would be getting alerted, hey, there's an AirTag tracking you.
If some creep slips an AirTag into your purse and you're walking, And as soon as that person goes away, you're going to alert, say, you're in range of an unidentified air tag, and it will alert you immediately. Now, Tiles does not do that. My understanding is that you would have to download the Tiles app, and even if I don't own a Tiles app, and if that person says that Tiles is lost, then I will get a notification. But that's the problem with Tiles, is that it is not private, far as I understand. That's the whole point of the AirTag and the stalking protection, is that it does let you know. Right.
Okay, so your options are, so you've been tagged in an AirTag, you don't know who it is. Your options are then to do what?
If it detects that an AirTag is near you, you just either take that out and find it and say, oh, this is not mine. I would just destroy it, throw it away, or whatever have you, to get it away from you. Throw it.
Scan it as well, and it won't give you any details.
The question
I'm kind of serious, because that could be a potential, you know.
My question is, once you're out of range, it doesn't really matter. You can't, like, track your missing AirTag unless somebody says, hey, I found it, right?
So you can, because if you left it, Michael, just say in the middle of the street, and there's loads of people with iPhones walking by, they're all pinging your tag, and then on your phone you can see where your tag has been pinged, and you can go to that place.
I'm so done. Okay. I'm so done.
So people can see that. It doesn't have any personal information, but it will tell you where it was last seen or by an iPhone device.
I see.
If she were to, let's just say she went back to your apartment with it, didn't know it was there, somebody next door or a friend that comes by with an iPhone, it will tell where that last location was seen. So that's why it's so important, that pop-up, that you do something with it. Destroy it, throw it away.
That's why the Android thing is at risk. Know.
And if you're an Android user, you'll have to download the app so you'll be able to detect it immediately. Otherwise, it takes 3 days before it will emit an audible tone. And unless you say it's lost...
It won't be tagging you because you're not an iPhone user, but it will be tagging iPhones that are near you.
But it's not going to delete your iPhone, is it? No,
nothing like that. Nothing like that.
Okay.
Oh, this is over my head.
Well, did that make sense to you? Did it help you?
Yeah, I just hope that this AirTag thing isn't like you have to get one and all that stuff.
No.
Seems a little.
It's why I'm not super excited about it. I just think it's a pretty cool little accessory. That's kind of my feeling on it, you know.
Well, I'm excited because if you're a person that you lose things often and want to be able to find it quickly without having to listen for an audible sound. Or if you lose it, as in you left it at a pool or something, and that's important to you, that loss option is a huge benefit too, because there's so many iPhone users out there that you have a better chance of getting it back. Now, obviously, a thief is going to be a thief. He's going to steal it, rip off the AirTag, and destroy it, and you'll never get the item back. However, in a perfect world, and hopefully with somebody with some good moral standards, would say, hey, this is lost, and I can return it to you, because, you know, if it was a car key or a cane, they have no idea who to send it to. Now, the iPhone will say, it's mine, without having to put it on the cane, my address, my phone number. This is something like when I need it kind of a thing. I think that's what's cool about the AirTag. It's not for everybody, that's for sure. How about one more question, Mr. Michael?
All right. We have Randy Builder. Randy, go ahead and unmute. We're ready for you.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey there.
Hey, Randy.
Hi, everyone. I appreciate all your podcasts and all. You know, you talked earlier about the purple iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have any scientific data or anything, but how many people out there that have iPhones don't have covers? I mean, because, you know, they're slick, they're shiny, they're easily...
Oh, now, Randy, that's...
iPhone. When does the color of your iPhone
come? Oh, you're missing the whole point, Randy, is that you know it's purple underneath the case, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, hey, I wanna stand up for the naked iPhone people. We exist.
I couldn't, because then we had dropped the darn thing, then what do you do? I guess that's what Apple cares for, right?
No, really, does it really matter? Be a risk taker. Anyway, it's a personal choice, I know that.
You get a transparent case.
Right.
Yeah.
But how many of those, like the OtterBox, you know, I've never seen a transparent OtterBox case.
Apple will sell you a transparent case for a low $99.
Well, okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, Randy, because not only did they announce the purple phone, but they also sell a specific case for that purple phone that meet that purple color for your case.
Of course they do.
So if you didn't know that.
Or you could just buy the purple case for your black iPhone.
Right.
I understand.
Hey, thank you for coming on, Randy. Thank you for coming to the clubhouse.
No problem.
One of the final things I'm going to add up here, Dave, before I throw it to you, is that I thought Apple is really getting the hang of this virtual thing. I thought this keynote was packed, and it was like, wow, it was like bang, 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 bang. I mean, they had four products within the first 20 minutes, and it was like, whoa. And they're getting really better at this. Now, the one thing I do miss is that the demonstration, you know, they used to say, here's the iMac, and let's show you, let's run a run through here and show you what it looks like and what it sounds like. I miss that. I miss diving into the different areas and the specs and things like that, where we aren't getting that now. It's like, oh, here's the AirTag. Here's a few things. Okay, move on. Boop. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I would like to see that in action. I want to see how this works like they used to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we'll see at WWC. We'll probably see plenty of demos and things. So. Of software. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. Some of those onstage demos I found a bit tedious sometimes.
True. I guess it's kind of a mixed bag. It's like, I just want to see what's announced and then we'll be done with it. And then some people want to see more of it. So I see a book.
I'll follow up with the YouTube demos, you know, and reviewers and all that kind of stuff as well to get that extra detail, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not Apple. You know, Apple will tell me this button, Dave, is not only just a button, but it took 2 years design and whatever
Isn't
reason.
Isn't it magical?
It feels
the most
natural.
Circular button ever designed.
I'm just picturing, like, I can just picture this keynote in my hand. This home button, you know, it took us 2 years to design. Feel it in your hand as you press the home button. Doesn't it feel good?
You feel the...
and it's all sad guys with...
Terrible,
button,
Michael.
You know?
Terrible. I'll leave it with you, Dave. You can end this baby up.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. Thank you to everybody who's joined us and to those who contributed as well. It was really great. Really enjoyed it. Thomas, thanks for joining as well. And Michael, thank you so much for doing the moderation. You took that off myself and Thomas's hands, and it really helped us, and as well as having your opinion. So, yeah, thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Clubhouse. I really appreciate it. We'll hope to see you soon again.
Absolutely. WWDC is just around the corner.
Apple Viz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit www.appleviz.com.